Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella.
Welcome to Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio Sirius XM 159. This is Scott Wetzel along with Rich Sermonella filling in for Ben Stevens, Joe Lisi, both out. They'll be back on Monday, but that's okay. We'll take you over the next 60 minutes talking NFL, maybe a little college football thrown in there as well. A lot to get to, the usual topics on this fabulous Friday. Lamar Jackson, Taysom Hill, you know, the Chicago Bears doing a nice thing yesterday. More teams getting fined for practicing, which makes no sense, right? On the surface, and what would a show be without a Deshaun Watson discussion? We got Kansas City, we got the Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill feud being relit by Pat Mahomes yesterday, and then maybe we'll take a look at some of the futures and some of the little tidbits going around the world of football, both on the college scene and the NFL scene. So with that, let's welcome in my partner in crime for the next 60 minutes, Rich Sermonella. What's going on, Rich? How are you on this fabulous Friday?
Doing great until today. It looks like on the East Coast we've avoided the heat wave, but it's up around 90. Good time in June to talk about football, and excited to spend the next hour with you, Scott.
Yeah, never too off-season to talk football, I suppose. The thing that's got, I got a couple things that have my goat here, Rich. I'll begin with, speaking of hot and heavy, it's got to get a little hot in the Baltimore Ravens camp. Normally, I would say I don't care about guys so sick every single year, right? We hear these stories about these players not attending OTAs, and they're OTAs that stands for optional, right? Optional means you don't have to. There's no rule that says you need to be there. Now, you'd like for a player to be there, but if they don't show up, it's generally not a story. So, but I'll throw that aside, and I'll use this as an exception because Lamar Jackson's in the news, and he told the reporters yesterday that he did not miss minicamp because of his contract situation. He's entering the last year of his contract. He wants to get a new deal. Obviously, many people talked about that, but that's not why he missed camp. And here's my problem with that, Rich, is you can't have your cake and eat it too. Which I'm not sure who really started that expression, but I get it. I mean, you can't have the cake and eat it. You can have one or the other, I suppose. You can't be greedy, but I digress. Here's my problem. The guy is asking for, we don't know, but I'm assuming he's asking for $40+ million a year, right? That's the going rate for these quarterbacks nowadays. So he's got to be asking for 40, 45, who knows, maybe even 50, but at least $40 million. And my problem with this, to make a long story short, is how can you sit there with a straight face, Lamar Jackson, and tell me that you want $40+ million a year, I'm guessing 3-4 years guaranteed at least, yet you're not going to show up for minicamp? You don't have enough pride and interest in your craft to show up at minicamp? Like, if you told me, Rich, I'm not showing up at minicamp because I'm in a contract dispute, okay, I get it. You know, it is what it is. But if you're telling me that's not it, I'm just going to take it for your word, that you just don't want to be there, well, then how the heck can you ask for $40 million a year when you're not even man enough, not even interested enough to show up for minicamp and help your team out? Because the next breath, you're talking about how all you want to do is really win a Super Bowl. Well, don't you think showing up at minicamp would help the team a little bit? So, which one is it, Rich, for Lamar? Can he get his $40 million? I mean, because I got to tell you, I'm not sold on him as a quarterback anyway, and I'm going to give you $40 million, 3, 4, 5 years guaranteed, and you're not even interested enough to show up in minicamp? Really?
I'm confused as to why he insists on negotiating his own contract. I understand the rationale, Scott. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I agree with your premise. If you want to be the face of an organization, you finished last year injured. Hollywood Brown is no longer your top receiver. You need to develop chemistry with your young pass catchers, Rashad Bateman in particular. I like Lamar. He's a good kid. There's a lot to like about him. Obviously, 2019 season, he was spectacular, but he has a lot to prove. So I agree with you. If you're going to be this organization's face, if you're going to lead this team to a Super Bowl, if you're going to show up in the playoffs, which hasn't happened during his career, it begins in the offseason. And so I do think he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Now, on a positive side, you probably saw this as well. I think he looks great. Yeah, Lamar, yep. Going back to his college days, very thin, very Teddy Bridgewater-like in his physique, obviously more prone to injury, but the thickness that he talked about, the extra 15 to 20 pounds of muscle, it was visible to me, and I think that's going to help him throughout the regular season.
Are you sold on him being a starting NFL winning championship caliber quarterback?
Top 10 quarterback, yes. I think I need to see it first in the postseason. There's so much to like about Lamar, obviously, outside of the pocket. Joe Lisi and I used to go at this all the time because Joe thought he would progress as a passer. I haven't seen it. I still haven't seen it. I still think he's more of an athlete, more of a runner first outside. That's what he thinks first when a play starts to break down instead of going through his read. So I think there's still progressions that need to be made. And again, looking at the makeup of the skill position talent, Lamar and J.K. Dobbins in the backfield, Rashad Bateman has to step up. He has to provide more of a compliment to Mark Andrews. I'm not sold on that receiving core, so that's not going to help Lamar this year as a passer.
Yeah, I tell you, I play hardball when it comes with these players, and we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. I wouldn't give them this long-term contract. I wouldn't. And then we'll bring in Kyler Murray. Same situation. They don't have to give him that kind of money, that kind of commitment. We'll talk about that when we come back. Football, full circle. Me, Scott Wetzel, along with Rich Sermonello, filling in for Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella.
Welcome back, Football Full Circle, right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Scott Wetzel along with Rich Sermonello, filling in for Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi as they'll return next week. Talking a little Lamar Jackson, we'll get into the Cowboys situation, Taysom Hill, Chicago Bears, and of course, the Deshaun Watson, as you can't have a football program. It's written into your contract without talking about the Deshaun Watson. So, but I was just discussing with Rich about Lamar Jackson, saying that, he's not missing camp because of his contract situation, which leads me to believe that he's just not interested in showing up. But then on the other hand, he's asking for at least $35 to $45 to maybe $50 million. And if I'm the Baltimore Ravens in this case, I'm like, why am I going to give you $40 million if you're not even interested enough to show up to an optional minicamp? I mean, we're not busting chops here. We're not making you run drills and all this other crazy stuff. You're not getting hit. I mean, you're showing so little. I don't understand. Maybe this comes Rich from him not having that agent. Debt. It's a bad look. I mean, You want me to pay you $40 million guaranteed, what, probably 3-4 years, and yet you're not interested enough to show up at minicamp. And they don't have to, which is what I was alluding to at the break there, right? I mean, I play hardball with these guys. I'd be a little bit more fair as far as cutting guys are concerned. I maybe would give them the benefit of the doubt in return, but they have Lamar Jackson for one more year on his contract. They could franchise him realistically one more year. It's difficult to franchise him a second year. But but you can. So they do have two more legitimate years. Arizona with Kyler Murray, who's in the same boat. You know, he's holding out. He wants a new deal. He's got two more years left on his contract, plus that optional franchise year. So the Cardinals have three more years. And I put both these guys in the same boat in that they're both pretty good. They both showed flashes of being brilliant. Am I really sold on either one? Not really. Would I like a little bit more information on these guys before I commit, you know, literally $40 to $50 million? Yeah. So I don't know why both teams just don't come out and say, listen, I don't care. Hold out. You want to hold out? You want to pass up on $30, $40 million? Go ahead. But I'm not paying you until we exercise all the options that we have on you, like it or not. That's the NFL.
Yeah, I could see taking that stance, Scott, a little bit more with Kyler Murray. You know, Murray has so much more to prove to me. I you know, when I look at Lamar, say what you will about him as an athlete, I think he has face of the city potential. I mean, he's that popular in Baltimore. Talked yesterday about potentially being a career Raven. I think that's the kind of kid that he is. Again, I'll question until the end of the day why he doesn't have an agent. There are people, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had some issues with my shower. I could have tinkered with it. But you know what? There's things I'm good at and things I'm not good at. And the things I'm not good at, I hire people to do. So I get a plumber in here. And, you know, Lamar is a quarterback. He's a terrific quarterback, athlete. He's not an agent. He should not be. He should have a team beyond just his mom who are guiding him on these decisions. That's one story. Kyler Murray, I think is going to wind up being a disappointment. There's something about Kyler's makeup, his attitude, reminds me a little bit of Spencer Rattler, who's now in college. We'll see him at the NFL level next year, where there's a little bit too much of a me personality, not as much of a team guy. For Kyler Murray to be talking contract extension this early, I think he's going to be a disappointment for the Cards. Wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years if he's wearing a different jersey.
Yeah, I seen many times last year, Rich, where he was pouting on the field. I mean, it was obvious, and they did a pretty good job of trying to protect him with that. But there were, you know, pointing fingers and shrugging his shoulders and just, you know, the pouting. I like the same thing with him. I would just say, listen, you want to hold out, go ahead. You want to walk away, you want to go play baseball, I dare you. You know what? Meanwhile, we have two more years and then really a third more year for you to prove yourself. And if you're good, then we'll pay you the money. But I've got to see it from these guys. I really do. And I think you're right about Jackson. I can't help but think Baltimore, you know, they can't say this publicly, but they're probably thinking, man, just Lamar, go get yourself an agent. What's it going to cost you? 1-2%? Really? I mean, you're talking about a $250 million contract plus endorsements and everything else that they can get you. I mean, he'll pay for itself. It really will.
Yep.
I would really like to know, and all these so-called insiders, Rich, that, oh, you know, I know this and I know that. We've not really heard what Lamar is asking and what Baltimore is offering. Is it more Lamar not coming to Baltimore side? Is it more Baltimore saying, well, you know, we got these doubts about you throwing a football, and you had a chance to be a thrower last year with all the running backs being hurt, and boy, it wasn't really good. We don't want to give you that $40 million because, you know, you're not going to be the scrambling quarterback in year number 2, 3, 4 of this contract. So, I mean, I wish I knew which side was balking more with the other side.
Yeah, and I don't think Baltimore has a lot of options right now. You know, a franchise quarterback is not on the roster. You know, the backups are pedestrian. You know, Tyler Huntley did an okay job in reserve last year, but he's not the guy you're going to want to build a franchise around. And we all know what the premium is for top flight quarterbacks. So if it's not Lamar, if you don't commit to Lamar for the long term, I don't know what direction Baltimore goes in. That's the problem when you're looking at the quarterback situation for any franchise. There's such a premium on the position. So few actually become, you know, that Josh Allen first round pick who develops into a borderline superstar, the Justin Herbert. There's more misses than hits these days. And so I think, you know, Baltimore knows it's in a bit of a corner. Lamar has a ton of leverage entering this season. But again, I couldn't agree more with your point. The 2%, whatever the number is that he gives up, he will make up because an agent will structure a contract. How about structuring some off-field deals through an agent, through a marketing organization, that'll make up the difference. So the fact that he's standing out there talking about his contract at practice yesterday just strikes me as absurd.
Yeah, I really question these so-called, again, insiders that just ask what's going on, Lamar. I mean, you don't want to tell me exactly what you're holding out for, okay, but, you know, do you really want to be here? You know, why don't you hire an agent? Is it about the money? Is it about the power? You know, just really kind of delve into this situation. And the other thing, you know, with Baltimore, Rich, is, you know, there's a ton of teams out there that are really good, but, you know, you generally focus on the teams within your division. You know, you got the Cincinnati Bengals now with Joe Burrow. I mean, unless something crazy happens, they're not going anywhere. You got the Browns. Once they do get the Deshaun Watson mess figured out, which eventually you think they would, now you got another star quarterback in your division. You don't know about Pittsburgh, but, I mean, you have two, like, big-time quarterbacks in your division that – you know, do they really, again, put Lamar in that class? Or does Baltimore say, boy, we need someone who can really throw the football because he's not going to be able to scramble, for the rest of his life?
Yeah,
Joe Burrow. The other teams.
Joe Burrow, year two, took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. Lamar needs to reach that level, in my opinion. And, you know, I'd love your take on the Steelers. AFC North is fascinating to me. So much attention on the quarterbacks, whether it's Lamar, Deshaun, obviously Joe Burrow. We've talked about the Pittsburgh quarterbacks, but usually in a negative light. It's, you know, is Kenny Pickett ready to bump Mitch Trubisky, who hasn't even had a chance to have a cup of coffee yet in Pittsburgh? Wouldn't shock me if Pittsburgh's a bit of a surprise this year, despite the fact that they have the weakest quarterback situation in the division.
Yeah, just knowing Pittsburgh, and I love Mike Tomlin. That organization always kind of finds a way to kind of surprise people. I am surprised. I'm looking at the odds here, Rich, about the Bengals. You know, they're the 12th choice, yeah, with FanDuel anyway. I mean, you talk about a team that doesn't get any respect. And I understand they came out of nowhere last year. I get that. And sometimes it takes legitimately 2 years for you to respect you. But teams that are in front of them, hence lower odds to win it all. The Cleveland Browns, I mean, and I don't know how that's possible with Deshaun, you know, and again, we'll get into it after this upcoming break. Maybe not playing for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe the entire year. But Bengals are 22-1, Browns 20-1, Ravens 20-1, Cowboys 18-1, the Denver Broncos 17-1, San Fran, Chargers, Packers, Rams, Chiefs, Bucks, and Bills all favored by better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Cincinnati Bengals. Amazing. Team goes to the Super Bowl and they get no love the next year. Remarkable. We'll talk about Watson and more coming up next. Football Full Circle right here on Sirius XM15.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella.
All right, welcome back. Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Not sure if the guys to take some phone calls. I think they throw it out there. 844-843-6879. Again, 844-843-6879. Yours truly, me and Rich Sermonella sitting in for Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi. And I got to tell you, Rich, I saw yesterday the Chicago Bears did a nice little thing. That kind of caught me by surprise. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, actually. If you needed a reason to root for the Bears and Matt Eberflus, this would be good. He had, and this is first year there, so I'm not sure where he got this from, but he made all the Bears last day of their minicamp wear uniform number 41 to honor Brian Piccolo, who I guess passed away 52 years ago yesterday. So anyone that was able to watch Brian's Song, the great movie, right, with James Caan, Billy Dee Williams, and not shed a tear, well, you're a better man than I am. And I'm not a big, like, cry guy, but, well, I tell you what, that you talk about a tearjerker. That was... and that wasn't a movie that was done, like, that was a TV movie, you know, one of the last made-for-TV things. But, boy, you talk about a great movie and just really a gut-wrencher, the true story about Brian Piccolo dying of cancer.
Yeah, a great touch what the Bears are doing. I know this is this was unplanned. It's ironic. Scott and I talked a little bit before we came on air. We've never worked together. He brings up Brian Piccolo and Brian's song, and the first NFL team I followed were the Chicago Bears in the 70s. I'll date myself a bit, and the reason why was because of that movie. I just stumbled on that movie as a young kid. Did shed a few tears at the end of it when Brian Piccolo was passing away, and from that point forward became a Bears fan. Bobby Douglas, Ken Granberry, yeah. And then really turned it up. My all-time favorite athlete is Walter Payton, and all of that goes back to that movie. So great movie, great move by the new coach and the new staff. And those are nice stories. We've had a lot to kind of gag over this offseason, so it's nice to mix in a feel-good story like Brian Piccolo.
Yeah, and one of those gag stories, Deshaun Watson. Yeah. I bring it up only today, only because I did read a story on ProFootballTalk.com that said that, supposedly, they didn't really offer any, unnamed sources, but just suggested that there are people in the league offices who want the Deshaun Watson to be suspended, in essence, whether it's with pay or without, until all the litigation is over. I don't know if they can do that, because who knows, there may be another woman that comes out of the blue. He may be still doing it for all we know. I mean, he may still be getting him. That's the other question that no one asked at the press conference the other day. They had 10, 11 minutes with the dude, and he was dumb enough, nice enough, you pick the word, to actually answer some of the questions. Whereas if I was his lawyer, I would have just said football only. Anything pertaining to the off-field stuff, I can't answer. That's what I would have done. But he actually, opened a Pandora's box there a little bit. And boy, one of the questions I would have asked is, hey, Deshaun, are you still getting massages? Are you still calling up some women? Are you taking that chance? And if he would have said Rich yes, and if you wanted to play like devil's advocate, you would have, wouldn't you have said, boy, aren't you a little concerned? Because you got 66 women saying you did something that you're saying you didn't do. Why would you then open up that possibility for even more women to say you did something, right? I mean, you could have had a lot of fun with that press conference with Watson.
Scott, I could be wrong. We'll see. Time will tell. This is going to go down as just an epic disaster for the Browns. I can't see it any other way. To commit, yeah. I've said this before on the air too. We not long ago we went through the NFL draft process, right? So for 3 months they explore every facet of every athlete's background, what they did in college, what their personal relationships are, right? They turn over every stone to learn about these athletes, because the last thing they want is a distraction, a cancer in the locker room, someone who has off-field issues. We know this guy has off-field issues. Now, I understand how talented he is and the start to his career that he had in Houston, but for heaven's sakes, you have now 24 women who have lobbed serious allegations of sexual assault. At a minimum, just creepy behavior, and this is the guy that you want to lead your team in 2022 and beyond. Forget the fact that there might be and there will be suspensions and games that he'll miss this year. This is a massive distraction. Every time the Browns hit the road this year and beyond, it's going to be unavoidable what Deshaun Watson is going to face. And I don't think these allegations are going away. I don't think the lawsuits are going away. To commit those future draft choices and $230 million in guaranteed money to a man who exhibits this kind of behavior is an absolute head scratcher to me. And I think the biggest winner in all of this ultimately is going to be Baker Mayfield. When he finally lands someplace else, I think you're going to see a level of pissed off Baker Mayfield. That's my favorite Baker Mayfield. Tell him he can't do something and he's going to make you pay for it.
Right. And I brought this up, Rich, with other hosts, and I think they all agree. I don't understand Baker's doing right now. I gave a football team 4 years. I played last year theoretically all banged up, but they asked me to play and I played. I went out of my way, blah, 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 right? And now he's doing the Browns a favor by staying away. If I'm Baker, I'm at this mini camp and I'm talking to the media and I'm saying, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go head to head with Deshaun Watson, and who knows, Deshaun may get suspended for his stuff, and that's, you know, not my doing, but I'm here. I'm ready to play football and I'm ready to challenge for a job. And but I'm getting out there and just speaking my mind, forcing the Browns to just say, well, we can't have this. Listen, guys, but please, you know, he's talking like he's the Browns quarterback here. We got to get rid of him. I don't care what it takes. We got to get rid of him. But he's not doing that. He's doing what the Browns exactly want of him. They want him to stay away and don't make a nuisance of himself and don't make a spectacle of himself and don't talk to the media. I don't understand why why Baker would do that, knowing that this is the same franchise that's kicking him to the curb. Because ultimately, he wants to be able to negotiate with any team he wants, right? He doesn't want to really be traded. He wants to be able to be a free agent because he's getting his $18.9 million regardless. So I don't understand why Baker Mayfield is playing nice here, Rich.
I have to believe this is coming from the top down, though, Scott. It might sound like Baker is stepping away. I don't think the organization wants him anywhere near that practice field. They realize he's not going to be with the team.
But that's why he goes. That's why he goes there. Why allow the Browns to hold on to him? Not trade him, not get him in a camp where he can learn a football team's, you know, playbook and everything, and just wait until another team, you know, ends up paying the price. Why not force the Browns' hand?
I don't know if he has much left. I agree with you. I think it would also help his position if he's actually playing football in June and July. That's what right. His next team wants to see. They want to see him on the practice field. I think it would be great theater. I think it would be great for Baker Mayfield, and I think it fits his personality. He's hardly a wallflower. He's hardly a shrinking violet. I mean, I think he would thrust himself into that situation and say, we got a quarterback competition here. Let's duke it out. Jacoby Brissett into the mix as well. I think it would be perfect. I think the Browns want no part of it. I think they haven't been able to find a trade partner up to this point. There's some rumors out there. Panthers, obviously, a possibility. I think they might wind up having to cut him if they don't have a trade partner, because there's no way they're going to go into the season with Baker Mayfield on that roster. No way.
Yeah, no way, right? Even though strategically it would make sense.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
In that, you know, Deshaun legitimately could be suspended 4, 6, 8, whatever games, and they say, hey, Baker, you know what? Right now we can't get squat for you. You play nice. You come in. You know, you win 4 or 5 games. Show the NFL world you're a good quarterback, and now we could trade you, and you rebuild your stock. So it does make sense, but I agree with you. I don't think they want any part of him. Mystified with Baker or Jimmy Garoppolo still being a Niner.
Well, Garoppolo's got extenuating circumstances. He's not healthy, and he's getting healthier. But the offseason surgery, I think, really complicated things for Jimmy Garoppolo. That to me is a little bit of a different situation. Baker's the head scratcher for me. He's still young. Not long ago, the first overall pick has shown flashes at times. I think he can be a capable NFL starting quarterback. I think Jimmy is at a point in his career where he's a good guy to have on your roster. Obviously a veteran who's played a lot of football, but he's a backup in my opinion at this stage of his career. I think Baker is a starter, and you know, again, I genuinely believe that once he finds his spot, hopefully he has some surrounding talent, Baker Mayfield can still play. Baker Mayfield is a chip on the shoulder kind of guy. If you go back to his college career, Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury tossed him to the side. He spent the rest of his college career making them pay for it at Oklahoma. I think he'll enter that same mindset wherever he winds up. I hope it's not Carolina, but there aren't many destinations that fit right now for Baker Mayfield.
You know, back to Deshaun for a second. I read where Javion Clowney said he re-signed with Cleveland because the final piece to the puzzle was Deshaun Watson going there, which I don't know if I would tie myself into Deshaun Watson right now if I'm Javion Clowney. But I wonder how guys feel about Deshaun. Do they take his side? Does he just reason it off as, yeah, you know what, I was just having some fun? And two, Rich, I wonder, is there anything that can come out that the Browns would say to themselves, my gosh, what did we do? We didn't know this. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was sitting out for an entire year, right? I mean, you would think they would have known every allegation possible, but I wonder about that.
Yeah, I don't even know how you how do you make that trade knowing what's out there, Scott? I just don't understand.
Yeah, very weird. Very weird. But it's the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, anything is possible with the Browns. Dallas Cowboys in the news. New Orleans Saints in the news. We'll take a look at some of those Super Bowl prop bets that we can put in right now. Football full circle. Oops, my bad. Here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella.
And welcome back, Football Full Circle, right here on a Friday on Sirius XM 159 Sports Grid Radio. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid Radio, as well as at Sports Grid TV. All three separate feeds send you all kind of highlights of game action and different highlights of the shows throughout the day right here on Sports Grid Radio. Talk a little NFL. We'll get into the college football thing here in a little bit as well, because Rich, there's a couple of nice little prop goofy bets on FanDuel that I just saw pertaining to college football that has me thinking. I'm not a big bet in June on something that's not going to be resolved until the following January. But there's some interesting bets that we can bring up. But first up, couple tidbits with the Dallas Cowgirls, as I like to call them. You know, every time, this time of the year, you know, you get all these stories about how this athlete or that athlete is in such great shape this year, and he's going to rebound. He's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, one of the latest is Ezekiel Elliott, who apparently is in super great shape, according to the Cowgirls, and then this, that, and what have you, and he's going to be back to the old Zeke. And I don't know. I can't help but think that unless they had one more year guaranteed on his contract like they do, he wouldn't be a Dallas Cowboy over the last couple of seasons. But are you a Dallas Cowboy guy, pro, or are they overrated?
For this year, I think overrated. The roster from top to bottom is not as talented, in my opinion, than they were last year, losing Randy Gregory being one of the biggest hits. Interested to see what we get from Dak this year, Scott, now that it's 2 years removed from the injury. Might see a more mobile Dak Prescott. But, yeah, in terms of Zeke, I mean, it wasn't just last year. It's been back-to-back years where his production hasn't been there. Maybe you could say the offensive line is tilting south a little bit, but you know, I'm not suggesting that Tony Pollard is gonna beat out Zeke Elliott, but he just looks like he has younger legs when he's out there. A little more pop from Tony Pollard than what you get from Zeke Elliott. Now that Zeke is being paid, you know, I wonder if 2018-2019 is the best of Ezekiel Elliott, and it's a little bit gradual decline from this point moving forward.
Yeah, you know, guys that are in the last year of their contract in baseball, Rich, generally have monster years, i.e., you know, Aaron Judge or Robbie Ray last year. That might be the same case for Zeke. You know, maybe he views this, okay, this is my last year guaranteed. I'm really going to have to stay healthy and do whatever it takes to stay healthy and be dedicated. Not a bad position to be in, but I get the sense, same thing. I think his better days are behind him. How about the running little feud here between Kansas City's Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill? You know, Tyreek was asked recently in a podcast, everything's on a podcast now, who's the better quarterback, Tua or Patrick? And he kind of wiffle-waffled his way around it. And then he was asked, you know, who's got the stronger arm? He said, you know, clearly Pat Mahomes, obviously. But he added, Tua is the more accurate passer. I'm a Dolphins fan here, so we're being sold this Tua is an accurate passer thing again, and clearly whoever is sending out that message has not watched Tua play over the last couple of years, because his arm strength is weak at best, and his accuracy sucks. So I don't know what kind of message they told Tyreek to say to the world, but he's certainly buying in, but threw out a little goofy little prop bet that FanDuel could take if they want. What do you think? What's higher? Kansas City wins, remember it's a 17-game schedule, mm-hmm. or Tyreek Hill touchdown receptions?
I would take Tyreek touchdown receptions. It's an interesting one. I love prop bets. I love kind of quirky prop bets. I would take Tyreek Hill just because he's going to be such a focal point of this offense. Not a huge Tua fan. Wasn't a huge fan at Alabama. I think when you're an Alabama quarterback, and obviously Mac Jones is going to counter this potentially in New England, but when you're an Alabama quarterback, you have such an advantage in terms of talent, especially at receiver over the past few years. Your playmakers are so much better than the defenders you're facing on a week in, week out basis, even if it's the SEC. So I thought Tua was a little bit overrated at the college level. Now he's getting exposed on a more regular basis on Sundays. But with Jalen Waddle, with Tyreek Hill, guys who you can give some short passes to, some slants, and let them take off, I think it does fit his skill set. So you'll see improvement in terms of the numbers of Tua Tagovailoa this year. But elite quarterback, I haven't seen it. I don't think I will see it during his Miami career.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I tell you, you wonder how long he'll be in there, because they did sign Teddy Bridgewater as the backup. So, you know, halfway decent backup for sure. Yep. They're scheduled to start the season. New England, now they generally play New England tough at home. So that's a winnable game. But New England at Baltimore, Buffalo at Cincinnati. I mean, that's got 1-3, God forbid 0-4 written all over it. I mean, that's a tough start to the season, Rich.
Yeah, especially for a new staff, too. You know, that's not the way you want to break in a new coach and a new coaching staff. You know, listen, love the pickup you're investing into. You're saying we're going to give you one of the most electrifying players in the NFL. But if this isn't the answer, if you have the speed and the playmaking ability of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and we don't see a dramatic increase in performance, both statistically and obviously the standings, I think you have to start to question whether or not it's time to move in a new direction. Next year's draft class should be better, but you know, we're going to kind of take the same approach. Alabama quarterback and Bryce Young, largely considered to be the top overall pick, undersized, arm strength a bit of a question. Yeah, could be Tua 2.0 with Bryce Young next year.
Yeah. Speaking of Alabama, FanDuel has some bets you can make on the college football upcoming season. Obviously, they list the general odds to win the national championship. Alabama's the favorite at 2-1. Georgia's next in line at plus 350. Then Ohio State plus 450. Clemson 10-1. And then on from there. And to give you an idea of how one-sided college football is, Clemson's 10-1 is the third choice. Texas A&M is the fourth choice at 25-1. So it is a major jump up, really, after Ohio State at 4.5-1. So because of that, I don't know if you saw this or not, Rich, but they offer up some other championship bets you can make. For instance, you could take Alabama at plus 2-1 or the field at minus 230. Every other college football team, you have every single university, everything else at minus 230. Or you could put Georgia in that slot. You could take Georgia plus that 350 or the field, which would include Alabama, at minus 420. Ohio State is plus 450, the field minus 550, so you're getting Georgia and Alabama there. And the one that kind of is really interesting, not that those are, but you could have Alabama and Georgia at Pick'em, and then the field at Pick'em as well. Hmm. What do you think about some of those?
Yeah, listen, this has been happening for a while. College football is such a stratified, chalky sport at this point. I don't think it's going to change. The haves and the have-nots have further separated. For those who don't know, there's 131 FBS programs. So 131 teams, in theory, have a shot at the national championship that Scott is referencing. And legitimately, you got about four contenders. The team that I like, just in terms of value, is Clemson. I think folks have completely forgotten about Clemson. They don't win the ACC last year, but the Clemson defense entering this season is going to be reminiscent of what we saw from Georgia last year. I think it's going to be very similar in terms of production, style of play, ability to make plays in opposing backfields, and they play in a much weaker conference in the ACC. So I think their path to the playoff a return to the playoff this year is a lot smoother. Now, the big question mark for Clemson, 10-1. They need something from the quarterback. Quarterback was a major issue. The entire offense was an issue last year. I don't know if they have improved with DJ Uiagalelei in year three, but Clemson at 10-1, I think there's some value there. But at the end of the day, I mean, Georgia and Alabama, so much better than any other program in college football right now.
That's what I mean. You know, you can get both those teams at Pick'em. Now, the chances of them playing in the national championship again, you know, pretty slim. I don't think they would do that college football. So you're generally going to get one of those two. But still, you would think both would be monster favorites. Like I said, hey, putting money down in June that I'm not going to be able to cash until January. But that is kind of interesting. Pick'em, Alabama and Georgia in the field. And you're right about Clemson. I mean, let's face it, the ACC, you know, Wake Forest should be pretty good with the quarterback coming back. But Pittsburgh loses its quarterback. North Carolina lost its quarterback. You know, the teams that were actually halfway decent, you know, lost those good quarterbacks that they had. So, I, you know, outside of Clemson, who's even going to challenge them? You know, are they going to lose any football games? Are they an automatic, basically, to get into the college football playoff in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, they're the strongest team in the ACC. I'll throw a couple out. I know we've said this year after year, and I'm not suggesting Miami is back. But Miami should be better. They have Tyler Van Dyke under center. Could be a first-round, second-round draft choice next year. He's a second-year starter at quarterback. Best quarterback I think they've had in a number of years. And getting Mario Cristobal, they finally have a truly competent head coach. It's going to take a little bit of time, but outstanding recruiter. He's an alum of the university, knows South Florida extremely well. So the combination of Tyler Van Dyke, Mario Cristobal at head coach, Miami will be better, potentially could win the Coastal Division. One team I'll throw out to you, though, Scott, is NC State. Underrated talent on defense, returning quarterback in Devin Leary, veteran coach in Dave Doran. And if there's anyone who knocks off Clemson out of the Atlantic Division this year, it'll be NC State. But again, that Clemson defense, top five nationally, loaded, just absolutely loaded with talent in the front seven. If they can kind of fill in a few parts in the defensive backfield, I think they're going to be giving up 10 to 15 points a game in a weak ACC. I think they cruise to another title, enter the playoffs. You're looking at some combination of Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. If there's someone else in the mix, I mean, maybe USC. Yeah, it's early for Lincoln Riley, but he did so well in terms of the transfer portal, bringing in Caleb Williams, Mario Williams, and a bunch of Jordan Addison from Pittsburgh.
That's true.
Maybe USC. We'll see.
Yeah, what is USC's odd? They're 25-1. That's not a bad little flyer.
It's a weak conference, too. You don't have much of the Pac-12, so you know their path is easier than SEC Big Ten.
Yeah. You know, you look at Clemson's schedule, they have four road games. One neutral site game against Georgia Tech, so that's the win that. But they have
three touchdown favorite, I would say, at least in that game.
Right. I mean, but I will say this about the schedule: the road games. You know, if you were gonna pick four, you know, three of these might be the ones you'd pick: at Wake Forest with the quarterback there, what's his face coming back, Florida State. You know, you always think Florida State's, you know, going to come back, and at Notre Dame, in addition to Boston College.
Yeah.
So
maybe at
North Carolina State, you would have picked that one instead of BC, because NC State generally gives them fits at NC State. But otherwise, all the others, Louisville, Miami, South Carolina, you know, Furman, La Tech, you know, they're all at home. But these big-time programs, that's all you get, Rich, right? I mean, you get four road games. That's generally all it is. In some cases, even three with some of these neutral site games, like in the Swamp and everything. So, but not a bad road for the Final Four for the Clemson Tigers. All right, quick little break. We'll wrap up shop football full circle right here on Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella.
And closing up shop here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We got the mini camps all finalizing. You know, we really, Rich, won't get into some of the real battles until summer camps begin. But, you know, is there one or two that stand out? Maybe Pittsburgh with Pickett. Yeah. Although I did see a story about how supposedly, you know, Pickett has like next to no chance of winning that job over Mitch Trubisky, or San Francisco if Garoppolo is healthy enough and they can't move him. Any of these quarterback position battles that you're looking forward to, or any other battle for that matter?
You touched on the one for me, Kenny Pickett, local kid from here in New Jersey, local to the Pittsburgh folks, Pitt Panthers, 24 years old, played a ton of football for Pat Narduzzi and the Panthers, put it all together last year. But I really want to see Mitch Trubisky. You know, did the brief stint in Buffalo with Brian Daboll behind Josh Allen. Is he a different kind of a quarterback than we saw with the Bears, still relatively early in his career? The one thing I'll say about the Steelers is that quarterback room is just better than it was last year. Say what you will about turning the page, you know, first time in a generation someone other than Ben Roethlisberger is under center, but they have better quarterback play this year, so I want to see how those guys duke it out this summer.
How about Saints head coach Dennis Allen real quickly? I got a kick out of this. Yesterday, he's saying about how Taysom Hill is going to be a multi-position player. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. You know, a month ago, he's telling the world, yeah, he's really going to have to concentrate on tight end. I think management came to him and said, listen, we just gave him a $20 million guaranteed, so you better utilize him. You know, you better have a change of thought there, Dennis, on your quarterback.
Yeah, public relations is really important when you're the head of an NFL organization. The one thing I'll say about Taysom Hill, for any young athlete out there, if you're unselfish, if you're willing to make moves, and you have athleticism, there's always going to be a spot for you.
Yeah, just have the right attitude. Don't be a dope and a jerk, and they'll find a spot for you. Simple as that. Rich, good job, man. Fun working with you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do it again down the line.
Agree. Thanks, Scott.
You got it. Yours truly, Scott Wetzel, Rich Sermonello, fill in for Ben Stevens and Joe Lucy. Alicia, football full circle. Enjoy the rest of your day, folks.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.